Maybe you think it's not a very pleasant thing to think about, but every day at the moment, we seem to be being confronted with the reality of our own mortality. A senior government minister reports on the number of hospital deaths from coronavirus over the previous 24 hours in a public statement on television. They warn us to stay at home, protect the NHS, and to save lives. And we can't help but think, that's my life. Save my life. We're made aware that we are mere mortals. Death isn't something that we often like to stop and think about. Our political leaders don't normally get up on television and speak about death. Normally they keep very quiet about it. If you think back over the last year, we didn't see them regularly standing up every evening to say that another 1,400 people had died in the previous 24 hours. They didn't tell us that every day 560 unborn babies had been put to death by our NHS and other providers. Death was wiped off of our screens. Maybe if every news bulletin from now on always began with the daily statistic of the number of people who had died, we wouldn't be able to airbrush death out of our thinking quite so easily. Death is not a part of life. Some people talk about death, oh, it's just a part of life. Death is the very opposite of life. Death entered our world not as part of God's plan for his very good creation, of a creation that can be lived in for life to the full. Death came because of sin, because humanity rejected the life-giving God. They didn't want God to rule over them. And we've lived our lives that way, as though we can do without the God who made us and the God who gives life. We try to ignore death. We do it because we don't really want to stop and think about God. We don't want to stop and think about God because we don't want to have our consciences pricked about our sin and the way that we hurt one another, the way that we have rejected God in our lives. It seems as though at this moment in time, God is at work to remind us day after day that we are mere mortals, that we do one day, each of us, have to face up to death. So although it may not sound like a nice subject, I think it's a serious subject that we need to think about. And I want us to think about, well, what happens when I die? Of course, there are two answers to that question. It depends upon whether we are still living with the guilt of our own sins upon our lives. If we're still living, rejecting God in our life and going our own way, then there is one answer to that question. But if we've repented of our sins, if we put our trust in Jesus, the Savior that God has given us, then there's another answer to that question. This morning we're going to be looking at different passages in the Bible, if you've got your Bibles, but we're going to begin with that passage that Angie read to us in Luke chapter 16. And the most important thing that we learn from this passage, not the only thing, but the most important thing that we learn from Luke chapter 16 is that when you die, there is no second chance to change your destiny. When you die, there is no second chance to change your destiny. So take the opportunity now. Jesus tells this story about two men. Both of those men would have thought that they belonged to God's kingdom. They were part of God's people. They were children of Abraham. One of them was very rich. He would have probably thought of himself, of very certain of a welcome by Abraham after death to be with God forever. After all, look at how God had blessed him. He had great luxury. He had plenty of clothes, the best of clothes. He had a good food to eat. He probably thought, I must be good. God's blessed me. I deserve heaven. But the other man, Lazarus, he lay at the rich man's gate. He wasn't clothed in beautiful clothing. He was clothed in sores that were running He had no fine clothes. His companions were dogs who came to lick his sores. His stomach was empty. He longed for even just the leftovers from the rich man's table. And even though they were both supposed to belong to God's family, even though they were close neighbors living next door to each other, they were divided from each other in life. The rich man never seemed to acknowledge Lazarus' existence. He never helped him out. He never took that path down to his front gate and gave Lazarus some food to eat or brought some oil to anoint his sores with to try and heal them up. He never invited Lazarus up the garden path to come and talk with him in his house to have a nice comfortable bed to lie in. He probably thought that Lazarus was the worst of sinners because look how God had treated him. He didn't deserve anything from God, so why should he have anything to do with him? Every day, that divide between the two of them could have been crossed. The rich man could have reached out and helped Lazarus. But Lazarus and the rich man in life were separated. And it wasn't a lack of the good works of the rich man that was his real problem. Even though this rich man had God's word, he had the books of Moses, he had the prophets of the Old Testament, he didn't listen to God's word. Even though God in the Old Testament had promised a savior, the rich man didn't think he needed one. What did he need to be saved for? He got everything he needed. He didn't believe God's word that says, there is no one righteous, not even one. He thought, that doesn't apply to me. I must be good because God's blessed me so much. He didn't believe that what was needed in his heart was trust in God for the forgiveness of his sins. He didn't believe that what was really the expression of faith was not lots of blessings and lots of things in this life, but was a broken and contrite heart. A life lived in humble obedience to God, in dependence upon him. Whereas Lazarus, he lived every day depending and trusting in God for his every need. They were divided in life. They had the opportunity for that division to be crossed over. But when they died, just as they were divided in life, so they were then divided in death. Don't focus now for a moment on the difference in the experience that they had in their division of death, but look at verse 26 about the difference between the division between them. In life, that division could have been crossed over. But look at verse 26. Abraham says, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. You see, the rich man had ignored God's word in life. He divided himself off from someone who was part of God's family, someone who was at his very gate, his neighbor. He cut himself off because he didn't believe God's word and trust in God and work that out in his faith, in love for God and love for his neighbor. And that division he kept in life was then finally fixed in death. He had no second chance for that division to be crossed. He couldn't change his destiny once he had died. Now that's something we all need to take very seriously when we consider what happens when I die. If you've lived your life in this world rejecting God, not listening to his word, not thinking you need the savior that he's provided, thinking that actually your good life is okay, that'll be all right, that'll get you into heaven, thinking that your little bit of religion will get you into heaven. if you've lived your life that way, and so you don't repent and put your trust in Jesus, then death, your death, will end the opportunity for you to do that. The divide between you and God, between you and his people, between you and Jesus, will be fixed forever. There will be no second chance. None of us really knows how long we've got until we die. We don't know how long that window of opportunity is that we can cross over from death to life by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe for some of us here today, there's a long time to go, many years to come. But perhaps, as we hear on the news, you can catch coronavirus one day, and 4 weeks later, it'll have killed you. 4 weeks, 28 days to go before that divide is fixed. Maybe, like our friend Bernie, you go to bed one night and you're dead by morning. If you're not living in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will you hear this morning this warning from God's word about what happens when you die? There will be no second chance, no second chance to change your destiny. The divide between you and God and his truly blessed people will be fixed forever. It'll be like a chasm that you'll not be able to cross. So will you repent of living your own way, of rejecting God, of not listening to his word? Will you come and trust in Jesus and be on the right side of the divide when that divide is fixed at your death forever? We begin to get an indication from this story Jesus told about the difference between the experience when someone dies and that divide, and the difference between the experience of those who die in Christ and those who die rejecting Christ. But I want us to read another little passage of God's word. If you've got your Bibles, just turn on from Luke's gospel to the letter to Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. If you've got a church Bible with you, it's on page 829. But if you go through the letters, you've got Paul's letter to the Romans, then Corinthians, then you've got Galatians and Ephesians, and then you'll come to Philippians. And chapter 1 and verse 18, this is Paul writing. He says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Paul is writing here from prison. He's facing a trial by the Emperor Nero, and it was a trial because he had been preaching the gospel, and it was uncertain whether Nero would show him some favor and release him, or Nero would say enough's enough and have him executed. Paul thinks that most likely he is going to be set free because he thinks there's more work of the gospel to be done. But he is not afraid of dying. He knows that living by faith in Jesus, he's on the right side of the divide. That when he dies, the side that is fixed that he will be on, he says, is actually gain rather than continuing to live in this life. If you look at verse 23, he says, "I desire to be with Christ, which is better by far." You see, Paul knows that what happens for those who believe in Christ when they die is not just better than living in pain and suffering in this world. I know some of you have extreme pain and difficulty in your life day by day. Paul says, what's beyond the grave for immediately for those who die in Christ is not just better than that. It's better even than for those who've got healthy lives, who can live a fulfilling life doing the Lord's work day by day. It's even better than that to die, to go to be with Christ. And what Paul's speaking about here is in going to be with Christ. He's not speaking about us physically and our bodies immediately going to be with Christ when we die. We know that's not true because we see people's bodies after they die and we put them in the grave or we cremate them. You see, Paul is talking about his spirit enlivened soul, immediately, consciously going to be with Christ. You see, each one of us as human beings is made up of a soul that is embodied. We are made up of body and soul, which belong together. As we are naturally born, we are born with a body and we're born with a soul. But that soul, because of our inheritance from Adam and his sin, that soul is born spiritually dead. We do not have life in our souls by nature. It's only when we come to put our trust in Jesus Christ, when we hear God's word and we hear of our desperate plight of death and what beyond that for those who don't believe in Jesus. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us and gives us eternal life. And our souls become enlivened to God. We know God and we can have fellowship with God. And what happens when we die as Christians is that, yes, our physical body dies. It looks as though it's gone to sleep and it can be laid in a grave. But our soul immediately goes to be with the Lord. Our living soul remains alive and conscious. And we are aware of going to be in the presence of the Lord. Immediately. Isn't that what Jesus implied when he was on the cross and the thief or the criminal who was next to him on the cross recognized that Jesus was more than an ordinary man, that he shouldn't be dying, that he was the Son of God, and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him in Luke 23 and verse 43, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. That man's soul had come alive there on the cross as he was about to physically die. And Jesus says, today, when you die, you will be with me in paradise. Consciously, your spirit enlivened soul will be with me in God's kingdom, with God forever. You see, the Bible doesn't picture anything that some people talk about as soul sleep. They say, well, when a Christian dies, their soul is unconscious. And the next thing they'll know is that when the resurrection takes place and Jesus returns, that's not what the Bible teaches. Paul says, I desire to go to be with Christ. Jesus said, today, the moment you die, you will be with me in paradise. The Bible doesn't teach anything that some churches talk about purgatory, where the souls of Christians have to go and they have to suffer punishment and difficulty until such time they've paid for all of their sins, and then Jesus will let them in to be with him and be with the Father. That's not Christian. It goes against the sufficiency of Christ's death for all of our sins. The moment we put our trust in him, all of our sins are dealt with. We have life. And life for all eternity. As believers, the Bible teaches that when we die, we go to be with the Lord immediately. Consciously, our souls will be with him. And so we shouldn't fear death. Yes, the means of our death may be fearful. The means of our death may be painful. But we shouldn't fear death. In fact, Paul was welcoming the thought of going to be with Christ. In God's timing, when he calls us, we shouldn't see our death simply as as rest from work in this world. Yes, it is that. We shouldn't see it simply as being out of pain and suffering. Yes, it will be that. But we should see it as it really is, of going to be with our Lord, consciously in his presence, in our souls. And just think of who that Lord is. This is the Lord who so loved you that he died on the cross for you. Don't you want to go and meet with him? This is the Lord who in your Christian life has loved you every day. The Lord who has cared for you, who has protected you from Satan's desire to destroy your life and your soul. He is the Lord who has provided for your needs. He has grown your knowledge of the Father and of him. He's grown your love for him through your life. This is the Lord who we go to be with. And this is the Lord who has got a great eternity planned out for us. Don't you want to go and be with him? Will you let that truth about what happens when you die free you from anxiety about death? Free you to serve the Lord today in your life? And if you don't yet believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think back to that story of Lazarus and the rich man, we see the divide. The divide was made permanent. But that rich man was consciously in torment immediately that they died. He was consciously crying out for relief from what he was suffering. And so we see that, yeah, again, for unbelievers, while the body dies, the spiritually dead soul continues consciously to exist and will suffer the punishment of God that will be confirmed on Judgment Day. But immediately it begins. There's no second chance. There's no place of peace for those who aren't in the Lord when they die. There is only the beginning of the eternal suffering of God's judgment and punishment that is described as a torment. Can we believe that's true? Well, it's what God says. It's what God's word reveals. If you're not a Christian, you're not living as a Christian today, will you be warned of your destiny that when you die, it's not peace and rest. It's not rest in peace if you're not in Christ. It's the beginning of eternal torment that consciously your soul will begin to experience. So will you now take the opportunity of saying yes to Christ, of saying no to continuing in rejecting him and not listening to God's word and going on in your own way? What we also see from the Bible is that experience of the soul, it's not for the soul alone, for all eternity. I wanted to read another little passage from the Bible. If you want to turn on a couple of little books in the Bible to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. It's on page 836 if you've got one of the Blue Church Bibles at home. It's chapter 4 and verse 13. Here, Paul is writing to Christians who were worried about what happened to their fellow believers who died and their bodies were buried in the grave. And he says this: brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Or to grieve like men, like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. You see, even though our physical bodies die, even though they decay, and if we're put in a grave, they decay slowly. If we're cremated, it happens very quickly. One day, our bodies will be raised up again and reunited with our souls forever. And for believers, Paul writes here, that time our bodies will be raised up to be joined with our souls, to be with the Lord forever. And elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us what those bodies are going to be like. Those bodies won't be like our earthly bodies. Some people say, I don't want to live forever because my body's decaying, my body's painful, my body's agony. And they think, well, I don't want to live forever. I don't want eternal life. But that's not the eternal life Paul talks about here in our body. He talks about our bodies, which will be raised immortal, raised imperishable, raised glorious, raised transformed, raised so that they are fit for our perfect souls to be reunited with them and fit for the presence of God. Can you imagine that? A body that is fit for eternity, no longer decaying, no longer painful, but fit to be in the presence of God forever. And that will happen. The Bible teaches that will happen on the day that Jesus returns. He returns to judge the world, to bring God's righteous judgment, to confirm the punishment of those who have rejected God. He comes back to raise up his people bodily from the grave, transforming our bodies to join with our souls, to be with him for all eternity. Not only will we be with Christ in the presence of God, but there will be that worship of him, that enjoyment of him, that love for him, that service of him forever and ever. And there will be no more sin, no more suffering, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, just the joy and the peace of being physically, spiritually with the Lord forever and ever, full of thanksgiving. Can we be certain of that? Well, what did we celebrate last week? What are some Christians celebrating today? Jesus rose from the dead physically. His body was alive again. It was a transformed body. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the first fruits from the dead. He is the first of the kingdom of God to be raised from the dead. And the first fruits means that the harvest is guaranteed. That all who die in Christ, whose bodies are buried or decay and cremated, will be raised up like Christ to be with him forever. Is the resurrection of Jesus certain? Yes, it is. The witnesses saw him. So we can be certain that yes, one day when Christ returns, what happens when we die? Our souls are born to be with him, but our bodies will be raised for eternity, perfect to be with him. Today, as we are reminded daily of our mortality, that susceptibility of our bodies to disease, at times maybe a lot of your life is spent in pain at the moment and discomfort and agony, and you're reminded of death every day because you just feel so frail. Will you keep in mind this certain hope that the Bible gives us because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that this body of pain is not the end, that our death is not the end. Not only will we go to be with Christ in our soul, but one day your body will be raised to be with him. If we keep our minds fixed on that, if we think upon eternity, if we think upon heaven and the future, the hope that we have, it will more and more keep us from our anxiety about death. It'll keep us to be able, even in the face of death, to keep on serving the Lord, doing what he wants us to be doing in the world today, And for those of you who are putting your lives in danger every day, keep your minds fixed on the future, on what Christ has won for you, so that you can keep on serving him, even in the face of danger and death. But there is no such hope in the Bible for unbelievers, for the person who rejects God, who does not listen to his word today and believe his word, who won't turn from their sins and put their trust in Jesus, who's living their own way day by day. Instead, Jesus warns that, yes, they will also be raised physically. In John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29, he says that when he returns, everyone in the grave will hear his voice and be raised up. But for those who have not believed in him, he says they will be raised up physically to be joined with their souls in suffering, to be condemned forever. The agony of that spiritual suffering of the dead soul, of the unbeliever, will go on for eternity in the body. Suffering agony of separation from all of the blessings of God. Blessings that you enjoy today, even if you're not conscious of them, if you don't say thank you for them. None of those will be present where you will be in your body for all eternity. Can we believe that's true? Would God do something like that? Well, think of the cross of Jesus. Jesus suffered in his body on the cross. He suffered spiritually and bodily the judgment of God that sinners deserve. We know that judgment will be physical and spiritual in eternity because that's what Jesus suffered on the cross in the place of his people. So if you don't believe in him today, look at the cross carefully. Read about the cross in the Gospels. See what Jesus suffered. That's what you will have to face if you go to your death, still carrying your own sins upon your shoulders. But think how good God is today. How good God is that he's warned us of what happens when we die, that there will be a divide that cannot be crossed. That if we don't trust in Christ, we will immediately begin to suffer the judgment and the punishment we deserve forever. And that when Christ returns, that judgment will be confirmed. We will be condemned bodily to suffer forever. God has warned us today of these things. But think how good God is, that he has provided a way out of that. And just think what it cost him to do that. He sent his own son to go to the cross to take that punishment in our place that we deserve. So that today you can say sorry to God. You can move from death to life. Your soul can come to life by the Holy Spirit. So that you can know that when you die, you're on the right side of the divide. Your soul will go to be with Christ. And that when he comes, you will be raised up to live with him forever in glory, with no suffering, no pain, forever and ever. Let's listen to God's word today as we're reminded daily of our mortality. Let's know the wonderful love of God, the Saviour he has provided. Let's keep or put our trust in him and follow him in our lives, doing what he wants, not what we want. Let's just be quiet before the Lord for a few moments as we perhaps just reflect upon the truth of God's word, as we look at our own lives and say, well, am I living God's way, trusting in Christ, or am I living my own way? Am I on the wrong side of the divide now that will become forever if I die today? Let's ask God in our own hearts to make these things clear to us and to know what we need to do. of putting our trust in Jesus. In a few moments, I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing a closing hymn. So let's be quiet before the Lord and examine our own lives and deal with God directly. Our Father God, we pray that by your Holy Spirit now, you would just move amongst us in our own homes. You would bring home the truth of your words to our hearts. Maybe we're rejoicing. Maybe we're thankful that you have reminded us of the truth of our blessings in Christ, that we were living perhaps anxious because we hear news of death every day, and we were worried about our own lives and what might happen to us. And we are reassured of your wonderful love and the hope that we have, the certain hope that we have of our souls going to be with Jesus when we die, which is better by far than even this life. And that we have that great hope of eternity, of being raised up to be with Christ forever. But Father, I pray where that's not true in people's lives today, you would move by your Spirit to bring conviction of sin, that guilt of sin of living a life without Christ, without you, doing our own thing, offending against you every day, that you would bring to repentance and faith even now any who are not living by faith in Christ. And Father, you would help us in our lives as we trust in Christ to serve him daily without that fear of death, to bring the good news of him to others, that they too might trust in him and have life and the hope of eternity with you. Hear our cry. Be merciful, we pray, to more and more in our nation and our world today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song now, which often is sung at funerals, but I think it's worth singing. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. Let me just say the grace as we close. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all God's people now and forevermore. Amen.